Lisa Rosano.
In the UK and South Korea.
K-pop girl groups have a lot of fans in the United Kingdom. Why are these K-pop stars so popular? Could it have to do with social media?
From Japan.
Who do the Japanese trust? Do they trust online news sources? What about TV news? Is television the most trusted news media in Japan?
From Italy.
Is TV tops in Italy, or are the streaming platforms taking over? How popular is TV compared to other media? Are the young people all going online? And what did COVID do to the size of streaming audience in Italy?
From Somalia.
Can the government of Somalia control the media with laws and regulations? How restrictive are the media laws in Somalia? Is there still a free media in Somalia today?
From Russia.
Has Putin crushed the independent press?
All this and more coming up on OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
Did you know that K-pop is very popular in the United Kingdom and that K-pop girl groups are especially popular? Why have these K-pop idols been topping the charts? What role did social media play in attracting this massive British fan base? Stephanie Casella is on the K-pop beat for New Media Beat. Stephanie, what is the most popular K-pop group in the UK today?
That's a great question, Alyssa. The most popular K-pop girl group in the UK would be a group called 50/50. They made it to the top 10 of the British official singles chart with their viral hit song, Cupid. And according to the Korea Herald, it marks the first time a K-pop girl group has reached the British official singles chart top 10. This is quite an achievement for 50/50, since it's never been done by any other K-pop girl group. The shocking success of K-pop culture in the UK has started an uproar ever since 50/50's hit single blew up in Europe.
How are they reaching people in the UK?
K-pop girl groups such as Blackpink and 50/50 have been using social media platforms like YouTube and TikTok to reach their fans in Britain. Blackpink's official YouTube channel subscribers surpassed 90 million as of July 17th. According to YG Entertainment. This achievement was accomplished within 7 years and 1 month since the channel's inception. The total amount of views on their YouTube channel is above 32.2 billion. The effectiveness of sharing music videos on YouTube has enabled Blackpink to showcase their musical talent online to their international fans, specifically their British fans. Rookie K-pop girl group 50/50 went viral on TikTok when a fan made a sped-up rendition of the English version of their song Cupid in March. This hot new sound has gotten over 500,000 posts since going viral. The English version of Cupid has also been streamed over 28 million times on Spotify, while the Korean version has had 24 million listens. British fans have access to TikTok, which makes it easy for them to share these hot new singles from certain K-pop groups. For a New Media Beat, I'm Stephanie Casella. Back to you, Alyssa.
Thanks, Stephanie. Let's talk about the news media in Japan with Ryan Gaiden. Where do the Japanese turn when they need a trusted news source? What types of media are the most popular with Japanese news consumers? Ryan, where do most Japanese people get their news? Is it TV, the press, online news sources, social media?
Japanese people get their news from typically a lot more traditional forms of media, like TV and the press, as opposed to in the U.S., for example, using, like, social media for news. That's become, like, one of the most trusted forms there, the press and TV.
What defines traditional media?
So traditional media is really anything prior to the internet, like magazines, newspapers, just all stuff sort of like that, TV, radio, billboards. And interestingly enough, kids around our age tend to actually still go for newspapers as opposed to getting their news on social media or like online websites. And the sales just from generally in our age group averages about like almost millions on the daily.
Why are they the most trusted?
In a poll on the media awareness in Japan, it was actually discovered for essential media, most people, about 82% of them, said that they would trust the press and TV, and 47.1% said that they would trust news websites and video sharing. Participants in this poll were also asked how much they really trusted any other news source other than TV and news. The percentages were 26.2% and 25.7% for TV and newspapers, as opposed to no more than 5 to 10% between both for social media and anything else like news websites or video websites. They don't really find it too trustworthy or reliable regarding any like major news. For New Media Beat, I'm Ryan Gaten. Back to you, Alyssa.
Thank you, Ryan. Is TV still the most popular media in Italy, or did the audience move online during the pandemic? Are streaming platforms taking all the viewers? Can Italian TV keep its audience watching?
Who's watching TV in Italy? Older people? Is the audience graying and shrinking? Are all the young people moving online to watch streaming shows? Do most Italians still trust television to deliver the news? My co-host, Alyssa Rosano, has been learning about media in Italy for New Media Beat. Alyssa, did the pandemic have a big effect on how Italians consume media?
The pandemic had a huge effect on Italians in their media. Lockdowns were enforced in Italy during the pandemic, which led to more people streaming live television for entertainment and global news. The size of the streaming audience in Italy got larger when COVID hit. They used it for everything while being quarantined. More than 95% of internet users in Italy ages 16 to 64 had watched live TV in the month prior to polling in H1 2021 and spent an average of 2 hours 21 minutes daily with it.
How did people in different countries besides Italy feel about the news and the news media?
The sense of importance of and trust in the news media vary considerably by country. In general, adults in northern European countries, for example, Sweden and Germany, are more likely to say the news media are very important and that they should trust the news media, while people in France and Italy are the least likely to say this.
Has the size of the television audience changed compared to other countries?
Italy's television audience has gotten massively bigger over the years. Many more people were watching television for a sense of news source and entertainment. For New Media Beat, I am Alyssa Rosano. Back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Alyssa. Let's head south from Italy to talk about media in Somalia. Deborah Flamenbaum has a report about strict government restrictions on media in Somalia. Deborah, is there free media in Somalia?
No, Mr. Anthony, there is not. The government has placed restrictions in Somalia on what can and cannot be reported.
What are Somalia's media laws?
Somalia's media laws are rules that journalists, news reporters, and radio broadcasters need to follow in order to continue to report on the news media in Somalia. The media laws also cover what news reporters or radio broadcasters need for pre-approval by the government to report on the news in Somalia.
Is religion covered in Somalia's media laws?
Yes, the Islamic religion is covered under Somalia's media laws, as well as the unity of Somalia. Under the Somalia media laws, no news can be reported that could cause mass panic or could cause disunity among Somalians.
How are journalists affected by the media laws?
Journalists are affected by the media laws by having to send out a copy of any piece of news, whether it's radio, a virtual text like a website, or a newspaper, to the government to have it pre-approved before it could be published and anyone else can read it. If the government does not approve it, they cannot publish it. As a result, they cannot make money off of the news story. It also means that certain news that the government does not want covered can be covered up.
What happens if the media laws are not followed?
If the media laws are not followed, the journalist is at risk for being put in prison, being kidnapped, and being fined. Not to mention, they can also be killed. Sometimes the Somalian government will offer journalists basically an apology paper to sign to say that they're sorry about what they reported, and that can help with their sentence. But besides for that, if you break the rules, you're really in the Somali media law, you're really in a lot of trouble.
How have journalists around the world responded to the media laws?
Journalists around the world have responded to the media laws by supporting news groups in Somalia that do disobey the media laws and reporting on them extensively. For more information on this, you could check the Human Rights website on Somalia media laws. For New Media Beat, I'm Deborah Flamenbaum. Back to you, Mr. Anthony.
Thank you, Deborah. Let's talk about the news media in Russia. Putin's Russia is a rough place to be an independent journalist. Is there a free and independent press in Russia today?
My co-host Anthony V has a report about Putin's war on the independent news media of Russia. Can you work as an independent journalist covering the Putin government and the war in Ukraine? How has Putin's government controlled and eliminated the independent press? Anthony, are there still independent Russian journalists reporting on the war and Putin's Russia?
Yes, Russia has censored and controlled the news to eliminate anything that goes against their agenda.
Why is Russia shutting down independent news outlets?
Well, Russia's got a pretty clear motive. You see, they want to call the shots on what people hear, especially when it comes to touchy subjects like the Ukraine conflict. Independent news sources often present the news from an impartial angle, which doesn't always align with the government's take. So by shutting them down, Russia's aiming to make sure that only their version of events hits the airwaves. It's all about keeping the message tight and avoiding any conflicting viewpoints.
How does this affect their perception of the masses?
Great question. The Ukraine conflict has become Russia's main focus because it's a global hot topic. It's made headlines worldwide and has garnered significant international attention. Russia believes that seen on the battlefield, they need to quash any support or sympathy for Ukraine. So they go all in on information control, spreading the narrative and discrediting any opposing views. Plus, Western nations have been vocal supporters of Ukraine. So anti-Western reports have also been served Russia's strategy to gain upper hand in the perception.
Why specifically regarding the Ukraine invasion?
Well, it's a game changer, folks. When Russia censors independent news outlets and controls the narrative, they're essentially shaping public opinion. By limiting access to unbiased information and flooding the airways with their perspective, they create a skewed reality. This can lead to confusion, doubt, and fear among the masses, making it harder for people to discern the truth. Changing minds is tough, but sowing doubt is fear is easier. And that's precisely what Russia aims to achieve, keeping people uncertain about who's right or wrong at the conflict. For New Media Beat, I'm Anthony Berdowski. Back to you, Alyssa.
Thank you, Anthony. That's all for this week.
Thanks for listening to New Media Beat. Thanks to our co-producers, Alex Hodgko and Cody Warner. Alex Hodgko engineered the show today. My co-host is Alyssa Rosano. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thanks, Anthony. Today we heard reports from Anthony V, Ryan Gaydon, Alyssa Rosano, Stephanie Casella, Deborah Flanagan.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWRO Westbury Web Radio and the Media Communications Department here at the State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
For new media news and resources, check out our latest post at newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast.